We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life?
No. Absolutely not. I think it's a pretty shitty argument, actually, that people would say that.
Dale Arnold.
You just wonder whether he gets to the point where he's had enough of Bill O'Brien and he makes a power play to get out of Houston. And if he would want to go anywhere else, why wouldn't he want to go to New England?
Oh, yes.
Rich Keefe.
I would be shocked if they aren't in there right now working on 12 and 14 game versions of the schedule.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Hey, it's Wiggy.
I'm so proud of him.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us in the open there. You heard Peter King say he would be shocked if the NFL was not working on 12 or 14 game schedule options because of the uncertainty with the coronavirus. There is a doctor who was speaking to the Santa Clara Board, Executive Board. Santa Clara County, California is where, you know, the San Jose Sharks were told, don't play games now, don't do this. And they said, yeah, we're going to play anyway. This doctor speaking to the board in Santa Clara County last night told them he would be surprised if there were games by Thanksgiving.
Wow. It's like Kirk Herbstreit over here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know because, you know, you look at a lot of these models and whatnot. Now they're just saying that once the curve or the death rate is going to be a lot lower than we initially anticipated. I mean, I know they were saying like at one point it was like
200 plus thousand.
Yeah,
right?
And now they're just saying now this, not that it's, you know, one person is too many. We obviously know that. That's stating the obvious. But now they're saying, you know, 60,000 people, and you went from 200 to 100 to 60,
yeah,
to 80.
So that's going in the right direction.
So it seems like, you know, hopefully that'll continue, and maybe, you know, come with baseball saying what they potentially could do, maybe become July 1st, we can ultimately be back.
I still feel like everybody's kind of guessing as it relates to the fall.
Right.
You know, like it's so hard to predict what next week might bring, let alone what it's going to look like in September. But I wouldn't be shocked if maybe you abbreviate the preseason and it's one of those things where maybe you only get a game or two of the preseason.
Right.
And then maybe they have to take away the bye from the conference championship games to the Super Bowl. Or they actually would probably like pushing the Super Bowl back a week.
Right.
The way that, I mean, they want the schedule to be a year round anyway, the NFL does. So maybe that's what you have, and then the season can still look somewhat similar.
And I was talking to Fitzy, and he kind of made a good point, and I could see that this potentially happened where there'll be fans in, but there won't be as many, right? So it'll be, you know, you say, okay, we're going to allow fans to go back in, but we're the same way
A Jaguars game.
Yeah, like a Jaguars game where we're gonna like
Tampa, you know, Bay Rays game.
Block off a lot of areas, and you know, maybe you'll only be at half capacity.
Right.
And so because the NCAA, I think it was one of the ADs I saw on ESPN on the ticker said that he doesn't see college football not playing without fans. Mm.
I think he's going to be surprised at how few fans they're going to start with, because they are not starting with full stadiums.
But
there is zero chance that happens.
But what's going to be tough is some of these schools are enormous. So are you letting like students go back to the University of Michigan, and so like a campus is full, but then the stadiums aren't? I mean, I feel like
how many thousands
of kids go to some of these major schools?
Well, the difference is you're not, if you're walking around campus at Michigan, you're not sitting elbow to elbow with everybody.
But I mean, we've all been in a dorm before. If some kid gets sick in your dorm, the entire dorm is sick.
Right.
Like it is, some of those frat houses are disgusting. I mean, and some of those classroom sizes are enormous, and yeah, they're not 100,000, mm-hmm. but they're also not 10, 15, like some of these numbers right. that they're hoping people to stay in.
But,
so
but
if the schools are open, maybe they do one of those things where they're letting fewer people right. in, like you said, but I don't know. That's putting a lot of people
right,
at risk.
But doesn't it with these new like projections, and I know they're all projection numbers, yeah. but doesn't that make you seem like, okay, well, if it's not as many, then maybe when they kind of get to where everything's, and then there was the new that one hydro, whatever is chloroquine, and then there was something else where I saw that
yeah, that one's got mixed kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, but I guess the only point that I'm making is you're starting to see some now, like, a little bit more positivity
right, finally.
On numbers, projections, yep. things that might be able to help it. So maybe that is we're able to get to August and we're in a way better position mm-hmm. because of just the projections being lower.
617-779-7937 as we get back to the more mundane sports arguments that we've been having here today. Miller's on the cell phone. Hey, Miller.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Good. So I know Wiggy was talking about the one guy the Patriots needed. I just wanted his quick hot take on what if Antonio Brown was that guy. If we held on to Antonio Brown, was that the guy to take us all the way?
Yeah, I think
not all the way.
I don't know
but
about
yeah.
all the way,
but yeah, I think you're definitely in the AFC Championship game.
Are you beating Miami?
Yeah,
in week 17.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're the
yeah.
number 2 seed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that you probably
this is the high noon hot take. Is that what you're suggesting, John? Is that what he said?
Oh, it's not the caller suggesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't there a chance that you maybe beat Baltimore down in Baltimore with AB?
No, you don't win that game.
You don't win that one?
I don't think so, because the defense got smoked in that one.
All right.
Unless he's playing defense and trying to stop Lamar Jackson, who didn't think was that good a quarterback.
But, for example, let's say just the playoff game alone, like I think they beat Tennessee if they have Antonio Brown.
But they beat Miami, so they're not even...
Right, they wouldn't even have to play them, so maybe depending on who you play.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he changes everything.
So if they have Antonio Brown, can we at least say that they're in the AFC Championship game?
I think so. And then it's depending on the seeding and everything. Do you get Baltimore? Do you get? I guess at that point it would be Baltimore, right? Because you'd be the 2 seed. They'd be the 1.
Well, unless
unless they got upset, maybe you play Tennessee.
I thought Baltimore would have lost anyways.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe they would have because they would have. No, now I'm getting it all confused because Kansas City then would have been the 3 seed, so you would have played them in the divisional round.
Yeah,
but either way, your team's much better when you have the best receiver in the league. It's pretty simple.
Because if you had AB last year against Kansas City and Foxborough, you beat Kansas City.
Yeah, you might.
I don't know.
Well, you should have won that
game. Kansas City looked really good.
Yeah, but you think about that game. They took 2 touchdowns away from you.
Yeah, that game was ended up being...
Right. You had the N'Keal Harry one that they didn't call a touchdown, and then you had the the tackle fumble that was caused by McCourty mm-hmm. that I think it was Gilmore picked it up and went the distance. If you have Antonio Brown, and that was like week 13, think about how far along he would have been in that offense.
Right.
You're beating Kansas City.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, that was week 14. 23-16 was the final. Mm-hmm. It was a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you do.
There was some Antonio Brown news earlier today. As it turns out, Antonio Brown, and we know that, you know, Drew Rosenhaus said, I can't do this anymore. I'm out. So Antonio Brown has hired a new agent. I'm not sure there's not a tougher job in all of sports than becoming the agent for Antonio Brown and try to figure out a way to convince teams that this ticking time bomb will survive. The guy's name is Ed Wasilewski of EMG Sports. He is the new agent. By the way, Antonio Brown's legal problems grew longer last week. He's now facing 3 formal charges stemming from that January assault when the truck driver was trying to deliver stuff.
Right, right.
So he had more charges added to his list. The chances of him being able to play for a team this coming season seem to be getting slimmer and slimmer by the day.
I think if you're his agent now, the best way to go about it is, all right, I don't want to hear a single thing about you.
But he's been quiet.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
He's
so
been quiet for a while.
So keep quiet until July, and then we have a better chance of kind of pitching you. I mean, a team is taking a chance on Aldon Smith.
Right.
So I think, I wouldn't rule out Antonio Brown. He's made it difficult for teams to say, yeah, this is worth investing in, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't rule it out, especially, you know, we get closer, you know, after the draft, teams can take a look at what their wide receiver depth chart is.
Right.
You get into OTAs. Every year, some stud blows out his ACL.
He'll sign with somebody by training camp. He'll sign.
I'll be shocked if he does.
Yeah, he will.
Or he'll just put out another album.
Like Rich makes a great point. Alden Smith. Go look at Alden Smith's track record, and he's been out of football for like 4 years.
And more. One team would sign him, and they're getting killed for it.
It doesn't matter. We're not talking about whether or not they're getting killed. But we're not talking about whether or not somebody will sign him. And I believe one team will say, you know what? Hey, for the last...
He was working out with Lamar Jackson.
For the last 8 months, he's been relatively quiet. You know, if they get to training camp, you know, he's been quiet on social media. He hasn't said much.
And I wonder if and we'll see, but I wonder if teams last year had a different feeling because it was in the middle of the season. So you're kind of more interrupting things because it's midseason. And the Patriots just got rid of them, and you're looking at it you're like, well, if the Patriots couldn't figure it out. Now, I know that same part is true, but so much time has gone by, and you have a chance to maybe start the year with the guy.
And he seemed nuttier since the Patriots got rid of him than before.
I don't know. When he was with the Raiders, he was pretty nutty.
He's been pretty nutty since he left here, too.
He's been nutty all along.
But he's been quiet for the past several months.
We're giving him credit that he hasn't done anything stupid in like a month.
That's where you got to start.
Yeah, it's been longer than that, but he hasn't. But that's where, like you said, you have to start somewhere. You can't say you can't just keep going, okay, the guy's been good for 8 months, but look what he did, you know, prior to that.
And the only reason why we're even having the conversation is because of how good he is, right? Mm-hmm. If he was even a B+ player.
If he was Mohamed Sanu,
he'd be gone.
Oh, gone. See ya. We wouldn't even be talking about it. I wouldn't be with the. But with him, teams are like, well, can
you know a landing spot for him?
Baltimore?
Nope.
Kansas City. Houston.
Yep.
Him and Bill O'Brien would be amazing.
Right. I don't see Bill O'Brien. They might be rolling around in the dirt.
Oh, they'd fight.
Yeah, but they'd be a fight. But Billy O'Brien just blew out DeAndre Hopkins, right? Yeah.
Because he didn't get along with him.
Capital E, capital A, capital M.
But he's got to be thinking he's on the hot seat. I need another guy in here. Will Fuller is injury prone.
Oh, he definitely is. I know Bruce Arians said he is not a fit in Tampa, but if Mike Evans or Chris Godwin goes down in camp, and again, you hate to say it, but every year some stud goes down in camp during practice or some nonsense or a preseason game like Edelman a few years ago. And they're looking at it saying, we have 2 years to capitalize with Brady. Mm-hmm. And if Godwin or Evans is down, what are our chances now? Mm-hmm. I think then, again, that's, you know, you need to wait for an injury. But that would be a chance for Antonio Brown.
Steve's calling on the cell phone. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you doing, Zayden? Glitch, how are you, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, it's Boston. Well, listen, I don't want to berate anybody, but on this salary cap issue with Brady, and, you know, if they had signed him, right, Dale? There's $13.5 million. You don't have to apply to the cap this year, which they do this year because they didn't sign him.
No, it would have been $6.5 million this year.
Well, I was getting that. Was you're still going to have to apply some of it. But there was one scenario with the Glenn hat on where they could spread it out over 3 years with a 2-year contract with the third year being a fifth year, so to speak. And that money comes during that third year upon the completion of the season. So you could have relatively possibly spread it out over 3 years at $4.5 million. So that frees up some money. But the other question is, everybody's got the same cap, am I correct?
Yeah.
Where's all their money tied up? I know Gilmore got a big contract. Where's the rest of their money? I mean, are there any more real big contracts here?
And Miguel from the cap space, Miguel's cap space has gone through these numbers in the past. It's the number of players they have who make $1 million or more. It's the number of players they have who make $5 million or more.
Well, they also have a bunch of dead cap for next year.
They have a bunch of dead cap money this year.
Well, they'd have to do something like they do with Brady. You'd have to, like what you said, you'd have to get Tooney and a bunch of these other guys that have pretty good sized contracts to restructure their contracts.
So the cap. So some of the quick cap hits: Gilmore 18.6, Tooney 14.7, Hightower 12.4, Edelman 9.6, Cannon 9.6, Shaq Mason 9.5, Sanu 6.5, Jonathan Jones, Patrick Chung just under 6, both McCourty's around 5.5, Lawrence Guy over 5, James White 4.5. So, you know, that adds up. You know, a guy like Rex Burkhead, almost $4 million cap hit, like he could be gone. I wonder if Mohamed Sanu, there's a date, I don't know what it is, but there's a date where they could cut him and like save all the money or almost all of the money. But then again, you just gave up a second round pick for him. So does that just make it look even worse?
So they also need $2.3 million to sign the draft class for this year.
Right.
You know, because they've still got that.
Yeah, you got to put that aside. Right.
They just, and look, this has been the way Belichick's always done business here. Unlike like the Colts were doing, where Peyton Manning was making, you know, a huge majority of the salary cap space, and then, you know, we'll just fill in afterwards. He's always believed in, you know, spreading that cap money out, and Brady's, his willingness to not take every last dollar has allowed Belichick to do that. It's the way he's always built his roster here.
But the problem is
he spreads it out.
But he doesn't really, when you think about it and we look at it, besides Gilmore, he's not dropping a ton of money on one guy. He's got, you know, 4, 5, 6 special teamers.
Well,
that
Gilmore and Tooney are big money.
Right. No,
yeah,
well,
Tooney now.
Now, because they franchise him. But besides Gilmore, I said, when you look at Gilmore, think about the rest of the players that the Patriots have signed during this whole Brady, you know, Super Bowl run.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore's the only guy that is in the world of, okay, they're putting a ton of money to one guy. Everybody else is just, you know, your Kyle Van Noy's, your Martellus Bennett's, your Simons there. It's guys like that that you can find those type of players. You know, and that's why I think that you would have been able to sign Brady and then also maybe trade, because there weren't any free agents for that player, unless you were willing to give Amari Cooper $60 million. And who knows? You know, maybe they were willing to do that.
But that's crazy, because then you look at,
I don't think they ever would have considered it.
Like, to the question like the caller had, he's like, does everybody have the same cap? I mean, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs cap hits.
Yeah, don't they have like $400 in cap space?
Yeah,
left
they
or something?
Restructured Sammy Watkins, so they actually now have more cap space than the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But for a day they did. They had like $10.
Yeah.
But they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys with a cap hit over 10.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots have 3 of those guys, right? So I mean, you're saying, well, how can you pay Frank Clark, Tyreek Hill, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Sammy Watkins, Eric Fisher, Travis Kelce? How can you pay all those guys? Well, they can. And then what's going to happen is once they give Patrick Mahomes that big bump,
they're going to go to Travis Kelce. They're going to go.
They already went to Sammy Watkins. Yeah, they're going to go to all those guys and be like, "Listen, we're giving Mahomes all this money. You guys need to figure it out. You can either be here and change the deal, or we got to say see you later to some of those guys too."
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. After the top of the hour, we'll kind of reset a little bit of the Tom Brady interview with Howard Stern this morning. Play like maybe the top 5 cuts from what was a 2-hour and 20-minute interview this morning. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
By the way, for those of you who maybe didn't get the opportunity yesterday, it was Karaoke Tuesday on the program. The Dale and Keefe Twitter feed, at Keefe21, at Dale E. Arnold, we've all retweeted. The Songbird of a Lifetime, as Rich said, Shime Time.
What a performance.
With, an important message, I think, Rich, don't you, in these days?
6 feet apart from your friends. You got to stay minimum 6 feet apart from your friends, and Shime found a way to put that into song. And I also enjoyed a lot of the comments that came on Twitter. Oh, why are you doing this? Is he supposed to be good? What is this? Is this ironic? I don't get it. What's happening? Is he a good singer? Why are you guys doing this? Listen up, everybody. We have 20 hours a week on Sports Talk Radio where there are no sports. So if we have a guy sing for 1 minute during the 20 hours, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
And not just sing, by the way, but
oh my God.
Sing.
But put a performance on for the ages.
And melt your soul a little bit.
Yes, exactly. And hopefully put a smile on your face instead. Oh, is this supposed to be funny? I don't know. You tell me.
I love
it's a choose your own adventure.
I love the people that change their mind about the performance.
Oh, do you have that guy
through
in front of you?
Yeah, he goes.
Pull up this one. This is a great one.
He goes, why? This performance is so bad, but I guess if it's ironic, it's kind of funny.
Mid-sentence, mid-tweet. The guy goes, this sucks.
Changes his mind.
This sucks, LOL. I kind of like it.
Here's what I noticed.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you did as well. There is a professional singer living in Nashville, making a living. Carly Teft, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Who linked to the tweet and said, I'll never unhear this. #blessed.
Blessed. She's
Carly
blessed.
Teft is a professional singer in the city of Nashville. Thank you very much.
She knows who can carry a tune and who can't. And also, you got to love the confidence. Chime's more confident, I believe, in his
than
singing
he should be, but
than
he
his
did.
Picks on Friday, which have also been good.
I'm just confident in me and my ability to perform.
Yeah. There you go.
So my God.
It's like Brady.
Some have suggested that I've been critical in the past of some of Chris's performances.
All of them, Dale.
You have.
Critical of all of them.
Not
except
this one.
Except one, and then this one.
This one.
Well, this one two. And Backstreet Boys are the two Dale's been okay with.
Did you like his original song?
I don't even remember.
It was the worst song ever, Dale. It was honestly the worst song ever.
Oh, that's right.
In my
the
life.
Original. Oh, I thought you meant the first one he did.
Oh, no. I mean, like, the one he wrote. That was a mistake. You don't, you don't show up to a karaoke bar and say, you know what? I'll do my own.
Here's my original. No.
I wrote this on the way in.
That's
3-4.
Everything
don't forget.
Everything should be covered.
Who could forget?
The whole song was about don't forget about this, don't forget about that.
Right.
It was all over the map.
We're not here for your songwriting ability.
Nope. Play us something that I know.
Right. And I want to hear you perform that.
Yes.
Play us the hits.
Play us just the
hits. And especially when it's as important as yesterday's one.
Yeah, 6 feet from my friends.
And he is trying
Stay
to help
six
you.
Feet
he's,
away.
He's trying to keep you safe, keep you from harm.
They should have said, next time Mayor Walsh has a press conference, he should step aside and say, and now a song from Chris Scheim. And then Scheim goes up there and then just belts out.
I think first game back the season, if somebody needs a national anthem singer.
Are you throwing your hat in the ring for Fenway Park opening
absolutely.
Day?
Absolutely.
Well, have you done the
national anthem before?
National anthem.
Now, Todd Angeli's a friend of mine, so I got to be careful here because, you know.
Todd can sing me under your table.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Fine.
So Bruins are still. We're not asking you to do a Bruins game.
No, maybe, I'm not asking to do a Bruins
Red
game.
Red Sox and Celtics rotate Red their people.
Yeah, anybody
right
needs somebody.
At it.
Yeah, you could jump in there. I think that'd be
opening
nice.
Day for the Patriots, new quarterback, new national anthem.
That's true. They're looking to save money, so that's maybe.
I'm cheap, I'll tell you that.
Remember when friend of the show, Carly Gonzalez, Jimmy Fund Radiothon guest, did America the Beautiful at Fenway Park?
Yeah, yeah.
Killed
was perfect
it.
At it. Yeah, that was really good. Scheim,
so Scheim, I think you got a chance with one of the, you know, American.
You know,
Beautiful,
Dale, I appreciate that.
The anthem. Mm-hmm. It depends on if you're, you know, yesterday you did channel your inner Scott Stapp, which I have to admit I didn't know was in you.
I think it's
6 feet from my friends, and I'm thinking
very. I think he's kind of that's his cue zone. Right. I think the Scott Stapps of the world is Scheim's.
I don't have to go too high.
Nope.
I don't have to get growly and get too low.
Nope.
I can kind of just hit that.
Very
mark.
Nice.
Sounds like he's who is it? Is that Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There's a lot of Eddie Vedder copycats.
Right.
Scott Stapp is one
sure.
of them, and so that's sort
that's,
of an impression of an impression.
That's like Scheim's wheelhouse.
Yes,
I'm going hungry.
And Greg's.
And
Greg's.
We mentioned that the Stanley Cup playoffs would have started today if, you know, the world hadn't been turned on its ear. And Zdeno Chara will join us tomorrow at noon. So what happened was they did a postseason poll at ESPN.com, the NHL Awards poll, and they asked fans, you know, if the regular season was over, playoffs start today, who would win the awards? And just to give you an idea of what you're missing, you know, because the regular season at this point hasn't been completed yet. The Hart Trophy winner, according to ESPN, was Leon Draisaitl.
Okay.
The Norris Trophy was John Carlson. The Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year, is Cale Makar, the guy who played at UMass, now plays for the Avalanche. The Vezina Trophy winner was Tuukka Rask. The Selke Trophy winner was Patrice Bergeron. The Lady Bing was Nathan MacKinnon. And the Jack Adams Award Coach of the Year was Bruce Cassidy.
Kind of chalk. You know, I don't necessarily disagree with too much of it, but, you know, MVP, all right, guy with the most points.
Yeah.
You know, best goalie, guy with the best goals against. Coach, team with the best record. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but I'm no real surprises there. I wonder if that's how the hockey writers would also vote.
I have a feeling they will. Now, you know, everybody's talking about what are they going to do? How are they going to pick this up? Evidently, Gary Bettman has now admitted that there's a very good chance they are not going to be able to complete the regular season.
Yeah.
So he's basically admitted, you know, assuming we can start again, it's going to be right into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, and I think then everybody expect that for that and the NBA. I think the biggest question
I think that makes the most sense now at this point.
The biggest question was would there be fans and would it be in like
one location?
One location.
Yeah.
Like is or in the NHL's case, they're talking like three or four.
Manchester, New Hampshire, North Dakota, places like that, right?
Denver, maybe. Yeah. They've thrown their hat in the ring, although the Avalanche have three players who have now tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, that's not great.
But I think, you know, when you see players...
All these plans are flawed. It's just, you know, can you pull any of them off?
But don't you see when players are going to, like, we saw it with Marcus Smart and a few basketball players. Guys, there were probably a lot of people that would, if they took the test or had the ability to take the test, that they might test positive. Then they'd have to quarantine themselves for 2 weeks. And then, like, Marcus Smart, isn't he good to go now?
Yes.
You know,
well, he's even donating his blood. We don't know.
No, he said he is. He got cleared.
No, but what I mean is what we don't know yet is whether you can get it again.
Oh, that part of it. Yeah, we don't know if he's immune to it, but as far as like he got rechecked up after 2 weeks and he doesn't have it.
Well, from the part that we do know, or, and, you know, it's just based on what the infectious disease doctors say, the one that we have on with Greg Hill, the Dr. Boney, he said, now, they don't know, but it looks like if you get it, it's a lot harder for you to test positive or get it again. That's just at least what, you know.
But they also don't know the timeline of that, right? Like,
maybe
you're not going to, you can't get it in 2 weeks, but they don't know if you could get it when it comes back in the winter,
right?
That kind of thing.
But isn't that then just like the flu?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right? You know, if you can get, you can always get the flu every year. But I think it's more of,
if you get this again, it's not going to be like the flu.
No.
But the idea of getting it again.
The idea of getting it again, right? So if Marcus Smart gets this again, I think, you know, depending on whatever symptoms he has, I think he might know what to expect, what not to expect. A lot of people, or his body's able to build up some immunities that makes the second go around not as bad.
If we eliminate Belarus, because they don't care if you die.
Oh, I mean,
come on out to the stadium. Come on, let's go. Let's get the games going. If we eliminate Belarus, it looks like Germany has decided they're going to be the first to return to play.
Good news, Scheim.
The Bundesliga, all teams return to the practice field this week. They plan to return to play at all 36 stadiums in Germany by the beginning of May.
Okay, and Germany.
I hope that's
Germany had over 100,000 cases in Germany, and they're.
Oh, he's got that website going.
Oh yeah, world.
Oh, he's ready to go.
He likes that.
Well, he goes back and forth. He has two tabs up. He goes back and forth.
I want to give you guys numbers, right?
Give me stats.
I
want graphs.
Isn't this like the?
He's got an incognito tab up too. I don't know what that's for.
Don't worry about that.
The coronavirus when you talk about stat geek.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get better than that.
There are graphs. This is fantastic.
But Germany, over 109,000 deaths cases. And the total number of deaths, 2,096.
Okay.
So that's
and
in
so
Germany.
They're in a month going to get back to, sounds
they're
like back to sports
this
anyway.
Week.
I mean, so hopefully, I mean, and again, if we got that information from China, I think you'd be maybe a little bit more skeptical. But getting that from Germany, I mean, you know, hopefully that's
seems
just
like
all good
their daily
news,
cases. Looking at it, coming down.
Yeah,
every
you've
day.
Also got to say though, Germany was much more aggressive in how they
early
approached
on.
This pandemic. Yeah. They got after it right off the bat. They were much more aggressive.
Yeah, they kind of learned from Italy, right? Like they sort of saw that's not.
But
that's
then
not
we
how
learned from
it.
Italy. I
we,
thought we kind of took.
Did, but
we
also
didn't.
We were a little bit behind on that. Because think about how long we've been talking about. Oh, like you know. You can't go to work, don't go to work, but do what you want.
But you know what model they said?
Beaches are open.
They said we've taken the South Korea model.
Okay.
Where we were very similar to what they did over there.
Except there's a gigantic difference in terms of testing.
Well, I don't know.
We were so far behind.
Yeah, I don't know about the testing part. I'm just talking about the lockdown.
But that's why I'm saying you can't say it was like that because they were able to identify, okay, you got to go, you got to get you got to move. We didn't do that because we were so far behind in the testing models. They were able to do things we couldn't do here.
But I mean, yeah, I don't. I'm just saying because there was an article from the Boston Globe. It might have been about a week ago that I read, and as far as the lockdown and how it was like, you know how we're like in this kind of semi lockdown stage. We weren't complete lockdown like Italy. We're in this semi lockdown of like. You know, only essential workers. I guess that's what the South Korea model was, excluding the test. Now, the test part, that I don't know because that changes every day.
Yeah.
There was an article I saw that they have tests that you could now take and you can get the results in a few minutes.
This is like a drive-through in Lowell now, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a few of them. Yeah. There's one in Somerville. But what I'm saying is there are tests out there
that are quick,
that are like 5 minutes you could take. Yeah.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll replay you the top five moments from the Tom Brady interview on Howard Stern this morning, an interview that went on forever. like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, that is a long time.
That is
for an interview? Like, do you just co-host the show, basically?
Well, Adam Schefter at one point tweeted out, you know, if they want to just keep doing this all day, I'm good with that. It felt for a while like that's what they were going
to
do.
Yeah. And I was going to listen to it, but is it worth me listening to a two-hour interview?
It was really good. Yeah, it was really well done.
I do like Stern, but that's a long time, though. When am I really getting?
But chop it up. Do it like
what else you got to do?
Yeah, like a long podcast. Well, just listen to it in the car. I'm
double speed, 1.5.
I'm trying I'm trying to eat those dubs in Call of Duty Warzone.
You eat any dubs?
I have ate a couple dubs.
Ate a couple dubs. I like that.
I ate a couple dubs.
Attaboy, Wakes.
That's going to feel good.
I got like two dubs under my belt.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll give you the top 5 moments after the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
The honest answer with Tom Brady on any topic. What would you want to know about?
Ooh, I would, this is, can be kind of a weird question, but I would say if we put you on one of the, like, let's say, because I work there, Tom, if you were the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens with their personnel, how many Super Bowls would you have won there? I bet you if you told the truth, he'd say 10.
Really?
I mean, look at the personnel, Dan. Compare the personnel of those two teams outside of the quarterback position for that, for the 2000s decade. Like, I think he would won 10 Super Bowls.
So that is Daniel Jeremiah, who is a former scout for the Ravens, I stress that, Browns and Eagles, NFL Network analyst. He's going to join us next Wednesday on the program, by the way. And you heard him tell Dan Patrick earlier today that if Tom Brady were the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, he would have won 10 Super Bowls, considering, now this is his, not me, considering the Patriots won 6 Super Bowls with inferior personnel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that. I think it's a little
not,
much.
No, it's not that extreme.
You think the Patriots personnel, I don't know about that 10? Bad? Like, give me a break.
No.
They just had 9 guys on the all-decade team. Mm-hmm. They had even more probably on the year
How
prior
many Baltimore
to that.
Oh, by the
have?
Way, the coach of the all-decade team.
They got the coach, right?
How many Baltimore have?
I'd have to look at it.
I'm not saying
I think they had 6.
I'm not saying 10.
No, Baltimore's got some guys, and their defense was obviously really good earlier on in the two decades, you know, with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all those guys.
Pretty good.
They were really good.
Chris McAllister.
Yeah, and they won that. They won it in 2000. But Brady wasn't really, I mean, I hate the expression, but Brady wasn't really Brady in 2001, 2003, 4.
No,
so I don't even know if he wins those with Baltimore.
I think what Daniel Jeremiah is saying is, based on the personnel that we know that this franchise had for that decade, right? It would be safe to say that if you put Brady in there.
Who's the best wide receiver the Baltimore Ravens had in the last 20 years?
In the last 20 years, I would say it'd have to be between Anquan Boldin and Derek Mason.
I'd agree. And I would say Anquan Boldin, and wasn't that post-Arizona run?
Say the Patriots might have three or four better than either of those guys.
I would say, yeah, Moss, Edelman, all those guys for sure.
Welker.
You, Mason.
No. He went to Baltimore after Arizona. So Arizona. Anquan Boldin was in his 30s when he was in Baltimore.
Okay.
So he was in Arizona and he was a Pro Bowler prior to that. He was still good, but that's sort of my point. They didn't really have, and what, was Todd Heap the best tight end? They didn't have Gronk.
Todd Heap was pretty good, though.
I know, but come on.
I mean, he was good.
He's better than Matt LaCoste. He's better than a lot of those guys, but I mean,
right. He's
he
that
didn't
next,
have Gronk.
He's that next tier down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put him in that, you know, like below Jason Witten category.
I think it's safe to say that If you want to count 2000, because that was Brady's rookie year,
okay.
If you want to count that, the Ravens have won 2 Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
If Brady was there the whole time,
maybe 2 more, 3 more?
Yeah, you could talk me into that.
Not 8 more.
No, hell no, not
yeah, maybe
8
not
more.
Eight,
that's ridiculous.
Maybe not 8 more.
Come on. And also, if he's winning early on, do you end up keeping Brian Billick a little bit longer? And Billick is not as good as John Harbaugh. Like, they switched over to Harbaugh in 08.
Right.
And I think Harbaugh gives you one of the top maybe 5 to 6 coaches in the league, whereas Billick, I mean,
I think what he's saying is personnel-wise, and maybe 10's a little bit high, but personnel-wise, they had enough talent to win multiple Super Bowls.
Shime just told me they had 2 Baltimore Ravens on the all-decade team from 10 to 19, and one of them was Justin Tucker.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you have the best kicker of the last decade. But,
yay.
So who was the other guy?
Marshall Yanda.
Oh, Marshall Yanda. Okay, so you had a guard.
And he was a unanimous choice on offense.
So you had a guard and a kicker.
Ed Reed wasn't playing in the 2010s?
Yeah, but he might have been, but he wasn't.
And
he
I mean, better, I guess technically they have Earl Thomas, but Earl Thomas played all but one year with the Seahawks.
Yeah, one kind of barely counts. That's like counting Patterson or Antonio Brown. So that's fine. No, Ed Reed played from 02 to 13. He was really good that first day. Like, right. I'm telling you, their defense was significantly better what would have been Brady's first 10 years than the second 10 years.
So then
they might win another Super Bowl or two.
They would have won more Super Bowls than if in the two.
But here's the other question.
The 2000s to the 2010s.
Because the Pats beat the Ravens. Oh, they also lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, but they beat them a couple times in the playoffs. The question would be, who's Tom Brady's replacement? And so are the Patriots still a contender with Belichick and his guys, or do they have somebody above average at quarterback to make them stand in the way still, or are they like a non-factor?
No, you would say, I think you'd have to say, wouldn't you have to flip it and go, okay, Belichick.
Don't give him Flacco. I don't want Flacco.
But that's who you got to get, right? You think about it. They get Flacco and they get
Trent Dilfer.
They get Trent Dilfer. Because those were the quarterbacks.
What about Kyle Bowler? Can I get Kyle Bowler for
you could take Kyle Bowler.
Steve McNair for a year.
Yeah, because those were the guys you would then get.
And now Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, you get Lamar Jackson.
So I think maybe you win, maybe from 2000 to 2010.
But 10's insane, because I always maintain Brady and Belichick.
I think he was just almost hyperbole.
He probably was. No, I think he was.
And we'll ask him next Wednesday, because he's going to join us.
How many Super Bowls do you think they win between 2000 and 2010? With that, the Ravens defense, when the Ravens defense was always seemed like a top five defense every year.
So that part's actually misleading. If you look at points, defensive points in 2000, so going up from 2000, number one, 4-19-6-6-10.
Okay.
It's pretty good. That was from 2000 to 2005. Yeah, it was. But the Patriots defense was, with the exception of the 2000 season, was probably just as good. Seymour, Law, Bruschi, Vrabel, Harrison. That defense was awesome.
No, I'm not saying they weren't. I'm not saying they weren't. But so you could probably make the argument they win a number of Super Bowls in, you know, maybe three, four.
The Ravens missed the playoffs in 02, 04, 05, 07.
Right.
Missed the playoffs.
Well, that's what he's saying. If you have Brady and that defense.
He gets you in the playoffs. Doesn't mean you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think a missed playoffs and then winning the Super Bowl. Again, like we're talking about that now with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Can they make the Super Bowl? I think they can, but that's a big swing, isn't it?
All I'm saying are the Baltimore Ravens with Brady during that from 2000 to 2010, are they the New England Patriots of the AFC?
Well, I think you have to factor in how good are the Patriots, because if they're not good, you say, all right, who is it? So. Do they lose to Peyton Manning and the Colts? Do they lose to...
The rivalry is just different. Now it's Baltimore versus the Colts.
Okay. Doesn't this almost get back to the whole Brady-Belichick argument? Because what you're doing, though, is dropping off from Belichick as the head coach to Harbaugh / Billick.
Billick to start. And then to Harbaugh. The gap between Belichick and Billick is significant.
Gigantic.
It's significant. Mm-hmm. And it's still a big edge over Harbaugh, even though I like Harbaugh.
But how big is the gap from Belichick to Billick versus Brady to Trent Dilfer, Kyle Bowler? Check able to make that up and get to the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls with multiple Super Bowls with those guys? Because we could say, right, from 2000 to 2010, if Brady was on the Ravens, how many Super Bowls do you think you could say they win? Three?
Maybe three. Because 08, they lost in the conference championship game, right? Wasn't that to the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. No, that was not to the Patriots. That was a different year. Was that the Colts, maybe? But I don't know. I mean, you can't go. You missed the playoffs four times in that decade, and now all of a sudden you're winning the Super Bowls because Brady's there?
But you're
missing Brady.
But you're probably missing the playoffs because you didn't have a quarterback.
Okay, so he gets you in the playoffs. It doesn't get you
to
the Super Bowl.
I'm not sure you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's a good enough quarterback that just doesn't get you into it. So you're saying Brady's now just a good playoff quarterback?
No. What we're saying is that they were more – well, in those years they didn't win. They didn't make the playoffs. They were more than just a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they might have been a quarterback away from making the playoffs.
Right.
I gotta look at the years. Let's see.
So they went 7-9 in 02. They went 9-7. They went 6-10, 5-11. Those were the years in that decade that they missed the playoffs altogether. And then another year, like, they're losing in the wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really, that 2000 team was when the defense was the most dominant, and they would have won with any quarterback. Would have been rookie Brady, so could have been you, me. They would have won in 2000.
Okay.
But after that, things weren't they weren't nearly as dominant.
All right, so 2001, they go 10-6, and they lose in division. If they have Brady, do they maybe win that?
I don't know.
Well, we won it.
Yes,
2001.
Yeah,
so
you did.
Brady's
couldn't beat you.
They lost 27-10 to the Steelers.
Okay.
And then you went on to beat the Steelers.
Right.
So
who was the quarterback in it was
in
it Dilfer?
It
was Gerback.
I think it was Elvis Gerback.
Right.
Yeah, I would say Brady's better, but still 0-1 Brady? I mean, I don't know. I'm not giving them the Super Bowl that year. I think you guys were better.
But are we better without Brady?
Yeah, maybe not.
There was a huge Tom Brady interview this morning on the Howard Stern Show. In fact, like a 2-hour and 20-minute interview.
That's not
minus
a record.
Some technical difficulties that they had, because apparently Derek Jeter didn't pay for the better Wi-Fi in the rental home. That by the way, there was a bit of a spoiler alert in the Brady interview. Did you hear him say Stern under questioning from Stern? He admitted he and Giselle and the kids are at the new house in Tampa, and his assistant is there. Now, that sort of flies in the face of social distancing, and it immediately led me to ask, is that his assistant or is that Alex? Because I think it's Alex.
Would he call Alex his assistant, though?
Well, like he didn't. Howard used the term.
Did. Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part. Okay.
So my guess is Alex Guerrero may be at the house in Tampa as well, because let's be honest, you need those aggressive rubdowns.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brady also showed up to Robert Kraft's house to talk to him face to face. So I don't know if he's taking the social distancing quite as seriously as everybody else.
He might be looking at it, though, right? He might be looking at it as whoever this assistant is, they might be like family to him, right?
Just a number.
Yeah.
Right.
House is big enough. They can do a lot of social distancing.
Right,
in
but
that
if,
house
if
too.
They're like family, right? It would be like you and your family having your family.
Right. You're in your house with your kids. That's fine.
Right.
You don't have, like, you know, your friends staying with you, do you?
But maybe the person.
I shouldn't make assumptions.
But maybe the person is like their family to them, right?
Yeah, I wonder. Like, is that person
like
staying
Alex.
There for a long time?
Right. Alex is probably more like family than a friend.
Yeah. I don't know.
So if a family...
And are they quarantining for 14 days, because that's what the governor of Florida has insisted upon?
Probably not.
We'll see. We'll check his Instagram, I guess.
I mean, if you had a family member that said they wanted to come over, would you, like, a close family member, would you be like, no?
Right now, we're not. Yeah, right now, we're not.
You don't have any?
We literally... My daughter doesn't come visit.
Yeah, right now, we haven't.
Huh.
Wiggy, my daughter's birthday was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We drove to Worcester to drop off the birthday cake my wife made, and we stayed 10 to 15 feet apart for my daughter's birthday.
Hmm.
I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Well, that's where you're at. I don't know.
America.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, maybe might be other, you know, family members might be different, you know, if they're quarantined. If you're quarantined at home and they're quarantined at home, what's the diff, right? If you happen to go over to your kid's house.
Well, see, my daughter, though, was a little late to the social distancing thing. And she said, I don't want to get close to you guys, because she's been out and seen friends, and she doesn't want to take a chance.
Well, maybe whoever his friend is hasn't been out. You know, maybe they've just been stuck with Brady for the past, you know, 3 weeks, and that's why he's like, all right, my assistant's here.
At this point, might as well.
Right.
Might as well grab a bunk.
Because, I don't know, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a sister.
Right, so let's say your sister's been at home, stuck in her house, and she's not going to work and this, that, and the other, and she's there with her husband or whatever. Would you feel a certain way if you knew she's not going anywhere and she came over? You're like, all right.
Yeah, right. I guess if you knew that she was doing her, like, isolating and doing that kind of thing with the kids, then, yeah.
Right, what's the difference, right? You go to the grocery store and you rub elbows with people you don't know.
Yeah,
I
you
try
do.
Real hard not to do that.
I know you try real hard, but it's just so difficult to do that when you're in the grocery store. I went to Home Depot, and there's you know, a quarter of the people that would normally be in there, but there's just going to come a point in time where you pass somebody in the aisle.
Yeah, you can you can give them distance. You don't have to be rubbing elbows with them.
No, 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 but you're going to pass them, right? If you're going down
on 6 feet like, apart.
Yeah, it's like when you're driving, though, in a car. It's like you got to worry about the other guy. No, no. So you might be minding your own business, grabbing a bag of chips, and somebody comes flying behind you.
You've been in a grocery store, right?
Yeah, since Monday. That was my last time.
Right, but you were in there
and
Monday.
And will be my last time for a couple of weeks.
But you were in there Monday, and the aisles are not going one way, right?
No, even in the supermarket I was in now, they right, now well, have the one-way aisle.
The supermarket I went to wasn't, right? So there's still a chance. And was it one way when you went on Monday?
Yes, it was.
I mean, one way is helpful, but even one way, not everybody's going at the same pace. So
right,
you're still going to be in the... It's a risk.
You're still running the risk. No different if, you know, I think it's probably safer if your sister said, listen, we've been stuck in the house for 3 weeks. We want to bring the wife and, you know, wants to come over to husband
and
kids.
But then if you're talking about grandparents or you're talking about parents who are older or things like that, that's when it kind of, that throws in a whole different element.
No, not if your parents live with you.
If they live with you, I'm saying that's different. Right. But also depending on what your job is and if you're going
is if you know that their job is... Basically, they've been quarantined. I think we're kind of like going crazy on the element of like, all right, well, you know, I don't want my sister to come over because she was at the club last night. No, she's been.
That's exactly why she shouldn't come over.
No. But well,
nobody's at the club right now.
Right, but what I'm saying is if she hasn't been, Dale, if your daughter was for three weeks is stuck in the house and hadn't done anything, I don't think you would have an issue with having her come over.
If I knew that she was in her house for 3 weeks,
right, that's what
and
I'm
nobody but her and her fiance were in the house, but that's not the case. They have a person living with them who works in a hospital. We ain't going near each other.
Well, yeah, right. But what I'm saying is that Brady's assistant, maybe he's been living with him for the past 3 or 4 weeks. That's why he's there or she's there, whoever this assistant might be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom Brady had that long interview with Howard Stern this morning. We'll give you the top 5 moments from that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.